I'm going to preach a sermon this morning I've entitled Draw Near to God. And starting with John chapter 6 and verse 44. It says there, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 12 and verse 32 says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." It is God who draws men to himself. God was the one who sought us. We didn't seek God, God sought us. We were lost, we were blind, we were heading to destruction, misery, and ultimately death. But by God's grace, God intervened in our lives, got in front of our pathway, and stopped us in our tracks, and he drew us to himself. He opened our eyes, he revealed the truth of who he is to our hearts, he opened the mind of our understanding, and brought revelation to us of who he is, of our need of salvation, showing us our true condition of being a sinner in need of his mercy. And he humbled us and caused our heart to want to know him. And Jesus said in this scripture that no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. He is the one that draws all people to himself. It's a work of God. We know we did not find God. God found us. We were the lost sheep, weren't we? And he was the shepherd looking for the lost sheep. God was not the one who was lost. It was us that was lost. Lost in sin, lost in shame, lost in guilt, lost in the bondage to Satan, lost in habits and addictions, lost in selfishness, lost in greed, idolatry, lust, pleasures, hatred, bitterness. We were unbelieving, we were spiritually blind, dead, bankrupt, dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. We were lost to God, but he found us. He woke us up out of our slumber. He shook us up and he revealed Christ to our hearts and drew us to himself. Praise God. Colossians 2 verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." It is indeed God's work in the soul that brings you and I to a place where we look to him. And it's the Holy Spirit who convicts us and convinces us of our need of God's mercy. John 16 and 8 says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Christ to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces us of our guilt and our need of repentance and forgiveness. And it's the Holy Spirit who reveals to us the precious blood of Jesus as the only cure for sin and guilt. And God has made himself accessible to us through Christ. And without Christ, you and I could never draw near to God. We were separated from God by our sins. We were a million miles away from God, but now we've been brought near. We've been given access to the Father. Ephesians 2 sums it up perfectly. It says there, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. It's a powerful piece of scripture, that, isn't it? We've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. We have been given access to the Father through Christ. We have been raised and made alive together with Christ. We've been drawn near to God. And I labour this point this morning because that is our position in God. Made alive, raised together, given access to the Father, forgiven of all our trespasses, having been brought from darkness into light, from death to life. Hebrews 7:19 says, "For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." See, God has made a way through Christ, a way which couldn't be made through the law, which made nothing perfect. But through Christ, God was bringing in this better hope. And through this better hope is how we draw near to God. Hebrews 10:19-23 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." See, God doesn't break his promises this morning. So having been drawn near, having had that way provided by God to enter in, having been given access, having now been shown the way, and having had Christ revealed to us, it says, it is now for us to draw near. Verse 22 says, "Let us draw near." James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So having been drawn to God, we are now to draw near to God. And that doesn't contradict itself. It's God's work in us, but we are to submit to God. You know, a lamp will draw a moth towards it, yet the moth also has to draw near to the lamp, doesn't it? There's a part that we have to play in this. We're to draw near too. There's a decision of our will to be made. There's an alignment of our will to God's will. There's a choice to be made. There's a command to be obeyed. Draw near. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You see, the good news this morning is God may be found. God is near to each one of us in reality, but we have to seek him. We have to call upon him. It's not that God isn't there. He's near us. But we're called to draw near. We're called to seek him. God wants us to seek him this morning. Psalm 14 and 2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. So clearly this works both ways, doesn't it? God reveals to us who he is. He gives us access to himself. He forgives of all our trespasses. He draws us to himself. He convicts us. He convinces us. He leads us by his goodness to repentance. But we also have to make a decision of our will, a choice to seek him out, to draw near, to knock, to ask. You know, people often complain, oh, God's done nothing for me. He does amazing things in other people's lives, but not for poor old me. But do they seek him? Do they call upon him in full assurance of faith? Or do they just draw near to him in just lip service? There's many that just draw near to God in lip service. Matthew 15:8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, it's possible to pay just lip service to God, to appear to be drawing near to God with our mouth, but we have to draw near to him with our heart and with our will and with all of our being. Believing that God hears us, being willing to change our ways to conform to his will. The prayer of the hypocrite God will not answer. This is why we are exhorted to humble ourselves in the sight of God, and then he'll lift us up. He hears the prayer of the contrite in heart and the humble in spirit, because God is the God of the heart this morning. The hypocrite has only the outward prayer and even has the right words and he draws near to God with his mouth, but there's no inner change. There's no inner contrition. He carries on in his old ways. No heart cry to God, no change. Do you know, even the sincere in prayer can also be deceived by their own feelings and emotions and to thinking that God seems far away, when in reality he isn't. I think one of the great struggles we often face in our walk with God is when God feels distant, when God feels afar off. But this is where you and I have to distinguish between mere feelings and reality. Because what we feel is not always in line with reality. It's not always our true position. You know, quite often when planes go missing or crash, one of the common causes is pilots relying on their sensory functions and their own spatial awareness instead of relying on the instruments. And that can lead to pilot error. Our senses can misguide us. Our feelings are not always a great indicator of God's closeness or his presence. We're called to live by faith, aren't we? The instruments we need to rely on is the word of God, on the promises of God. What does the word of God say about who we are in Christ? What are God's promises to us? What does the scripture say about our standing with God? That's what we need to rely on, not feelings and emotions. Don't get me wrong, feelings can be good, emotions can be good, but they're not our guidance to God's working in our life. Feelings come and go, emotions are up and down. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. The word of God does not change. His promises are faithful. Yea and amen. And that's what we need to put our faith in this morning. In his word, not in our feelings. Faith is believing that which we cannot see or feel. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So even if we feel God's far away, that doesn't mean that he is far away. Acts 17:24-28 says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath and all things. He gives to all life, breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. See, God has set man's times and boundaries in order that men should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him, it says, and find him. But it says in reality, he's not far from each one of us. But he wants us to reach for him and to seek him. So with all that in mind, what does keep God at a distance from us? Well, sin, unbelief, being double-minded. Sin and disobedience separates man from God. For the believer, what sin does is take us out of fellowship with our God. And it's not that God leaves us, it's that we leave God. We take ourselves out of close fellowship with him. The answer to that is to restore fellowship with our Lord, to bring our life under his blood daily and to repent. As believers, we are washed in the blood this morning, aren't we? We are forgiven, but we still need to confess our sins to God. We still need to maintain that repentance in our hearts before God. And it says the blood of our Lord Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. Our conscience can be defiled. Unconfessed sin can hinder our walk with God, can't it? We need to keep a short list with God. We're not like the Catholics this morning, that they have to take Mass every day in order to keep right with God. Christ died once and for all. The price has been paid. But for us to enjoy fellowship with God in full assurance of faith, which is how we draw near to God, we need to ensure we're walking in truth and not trying to cover up sin. Hebrews 10 tells us in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So drawing near to God involves having a true heart in full assurance of faith. Involves having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience by the blood of the Lamb. Our bodies washed with pure water. Full assurance of faith only comes when we're living in the truth, with no unconfessed sin in our lives. A true heart is not double-minded, is it? James said, purify your heart, you double-minded. If we want to draw near to God, we need to examine our heart and see if there's any wicked way in us. In other words, we need to keep a clean heart before God. Keep a right heart before God. Put away doubting and unbelief, not having a divided heart. We need to be single-minded this morning. The rich young ruler was double-minded. He wanted salvation, but he also wanted to keep hold of his riches. But with God, it's all or nothing, isn't it? God wants all of our heart, all of our being, our whole will, our whole mind. We can't accommodate other gods and other idols and serve God. And also this morning, it's vital for you and I, in keeping close to God, is having daily communion with God. We can't neglect the gift of prayer. It's our number one communication line to God. We have to keep on calling to God. We have to keep on seeking God. We have to continue to draw near to God daily. It has to be part of our daily walk. And if we neglect prayer, it just gets harder and harder, doesn't it, to pray? Neglect of the prayer closet is the biggest cause of backsliding and falling back into those old mindsets and habits. Neglect of our relationship with God, or coasting along without reference to God in our lives. We have to make time for God each and every day, no matter how busy we are or how tired we feel, we have to press in. It's not easy prayer, is it? I'm sure all of us struggle at times to pray. And it's easy just to give God lip service in prayer, just to go through the motions. And if we're all honest, I'm sure we've all done that at times. Prayed when our heart isn't in it. But we have to press through until we are open up to God. It's not just about mere words, is it, this morning? Sometimes we can only groan in prayer and express our frustration to God. But you know, that's fine, because God sees our hearts. God understands us even when we don't understand ourselves. God knows what goes on in the inner man. He knows the struggles, the fears, the frustrations, the weariness, the pain, the hurt, the sense of inadequacy, helplessness and weakness. He knows all that, but he looks at our heart desire. He bottles up our tears, the Bible tells us. He knows what we're really praying for. And the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers with groanings which cannot be uttered. Because we don't always know what to pray for as we ought, do we? But our relationship with God will never develop unless we pray, unless we commune with God. You know, Enoch was a man who walked with God. And he had such a close walk with God that God took him. He never saw death. He was translated straight into the presence of God, which must have been amazing. But you know, his name means dedicated. He was a man who was dedicated to his God. Genesis 5:24 says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Hebrews 11:5, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." What a testimony, that he pleased God. Isn't that what we want when we meet Jesus? To be told, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That we would please our Master in heaven. God is looking at our hearts. That's what he wants. He wants us to seek him, to draw near to him, to know him. That we'd walk with him daily, hand in hand with our Heavenly Father, having that sweet fellowship with God. But for that, we need faith. We need a clean heart. We need to believe. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to take him at his word, not relying on our feelings and emotions. And finally, we need to press in prayer. We need to wrestle with God until we get hold of him. You know, don't lose heart if God seems far away. He isn't far away. In fact, he's close to each one of us, as the scripture told us. We just need to reach out to him, call upon his name, and he will be there. He's already found us. He's already sought us out. He's already called us by name to be saved. We just need to respond to his call and say, "Yes, Lord, here I am." God just wants our hearts. You know, it was the sinner that cried out, "Be merciful to me," who God justified, not the religious Pharisee. It was the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears who went away forgiven. You know, the Bible says a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." How do we draw near to God? With our hearts, with honesty, with contrition, with purity, with faith, with trust. Do this and God will draw near to us. How amazing, how wonderful to be near to the God of heaven, to be near to our Heavenly Father and to have access to his mercy. Amen. 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 Praise God this morning. Right.